Let the ministers of the sanctuary be convinced that all this, and whatsoever else in apostolical zeal and essential love of the divine word may find suitable to this high purpose, will be an efficacious help to the cure of souls. 53. But it is plain to everyone that priests cannot duly fulfill all this, unless in their seminary days they have imbibed a practical and enduring love for the sacred scriptures. Wherefore let the bishops, on whom devolves the paternal care of their seminaries, with all diligence see to it that nothing be omitted in this matter which may help towards the desired end. Let the professors of sacred scripture in the seminaries give the whole course of biblical studies in such a way that they may instruct the young aspirants to the priesthood and to the ministry of the divine word with that knowledge of the sacred letters, and imbue them with that love for the same, without which it is vain to hope for copious fruits of the apostolate. 54. Hence their exegetical explanation should aim especially at the theological doctrine, avoiding useless disputations, and omitting all that is calculated rather to gratify curiosity than to promote true learning and solid piety. The literal sense, and especially the theological, let them propose with such definiteness, explain with such skill, and inculcate with such ardor that in their students may be in a sense verified what happened to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, when, having heard the words of the Master, they exclaimed, "Was not our heart burning within us, whilst he opened to us the Scriptures?" 37. 55. Thus the divine letter will become for the future priests of the Church a pure and never failing source for their own spiritual life, as well as food and strength for the sacred office of preaching which they are about to undertake. If the professors of this most important matter in the seminaries accomplish all this, then let them rest joyfully assured that they have most efficaciously contributed to the salvation of souls, to the progress of the Catholic faith, to the honor and glory of God, and that they have performed a work most closely connected with the apostolic office. 56. If these things which we have said, venerable brethren and beloved sons, are necessary in every age, much more urgently are they needed in our sorrowful times, when almost all peoples and nations are plunged in a sea of calamities, when war heaps ruins upon ruins and slaughter upon slaughter, when, owing to the most bitter hatred stirred up among the nations, we perceive with greatest sorrow that in not a few has been extinguished the sense, not only of Christian moderation and charity, but also of humanity itself. Who can heal these mortal wounds of the human family if not he, to whom the Prince of the Apostles, full of confidence and love, addresses these words, "Lord, to whom shall we go? How hast the words of eternal life?" 37. 57. To this our most merciful Redeemer we must therefore bring all back by every means in our power, for he is the divine consoler of the afflicted. He it is who teaches all, whether they be invested with public authority, or are bound in duty to obey and submit, true honesty, absolute justice and generous charity. It is he in fine, and he alone, who can be the firm foundation and support of peace and tranquility, for other foundation no man can lay but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. 38. This author of salvation, priest, will men more fully know, more ardently love and faithfully imitate in proportion as they are more assiduously urged to know and meditate the sacred letters, especially the New Testament. For, as Saint Jerome the Doctor of Stridon says, to ignore the Scripture is to ignore Christ. 39. And again, if there is anything in this life which sustains a wise man and induces him to maintain his serenity amidst the tribulations and adversities of the world, it is in the first place, I consider, the meditation and knowledge of the Scriptures. 40. 58. There those who are wearied and depressed by adversities and afflictions will find true consolation and divine strength to suffer and bear with patience. There, that is in the Holy Gospels, Christ, the highest and greatest example of justice, charity and mercy, is present to all, and to the lacerated and trembling human race are laid open the fountains of that divine grace without which both peoples and their rulers can never arrive at, never establish, peace in the state and unity of heart. There in fine will all learn Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. 41. And, who of God has made unto us wisdom and justice and sanctification and redemption. 42:59. Having expounded and recommended those things which are required for the adaptation of Scripture studies to the necessities of the day, it remains, venerable brethren and beloved sons, that to biblical scholars who are devoted sons of the Church, and follow faithfully her teaching and direction, we address with paternal affection, not only our congratulations, that they have been chosen and called to so sublime an office, but also our encouragement, to continue with ever-renewed vigor with all zeal and care, the work so happily begun. Sublime office, we say, for what is more sublime than to scrutinize, explain, propose to the faithful, and defend from unbelievers the very word of God, communicated to men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 60. With this spiritual food the mind of the interpreter is fed and nourished, to the commemoration of faith, the consolation of hope, the exhortation of charity. 43. To live amidst these things, to meditate these things, to know nothing else, to seek nothing else, does it not seem to you already here below a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom? 44. Let also the minds of the faithful be nourished with this same food, that they may draw from thence the knowledge and love of God and the progress and perfection and the happiness of their own individual souls. Let, then, the interpreters of the divine oracles devote themselves to this holy practice with all their heart. Let them pray, that they may understand. 45. Let them labor to penetrate ever more deeply into the secrets of the sacred pages. Let them teach and preach, in order to open to others also the treasures of the Word of God. 61. Let the present-day commentators of the sacred Scripture emulate, according to their capacity, what those illustrious interpreters of past ages accomplished with such great fruit, so that, as in the past, so also in these days, the Church may have at her disposal learned doctors for the expounding of the divine letters, and, through their assiduous labors, the faithful may comprehend all the splendor, stimulating language, and joy contained in the Holy Scriptures. And in this very arduous and important office let them have, for their comfort, the holy books. 46, and be mindful of the promised reward, since they that are learned shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that instruct many unto justice, as stars for all eternity. 47. 62. And now, while ardently desiring for all sons of the Church, and especially for the professors in biblical science, for the young clergy and for preachers, that, continually meditating on the divine word, they may taste how good and sweet is the Spirit of the Lord. 48. As a presage of heavenly gifts and a token of our paternal goodwill, we impart to you one and all, venerable brethren and beloved sons, most lovingly in the Lord, the apostolic benediction. 63. Given at Rome, at St. Peter's, on the 30th of September, the feast of St. Jerome, the greatest doctor in the exposition of the sacred Scriptures, in the year 1943, the fifth of our pontificate.